You're listening to the Whittier Christian Herald's podcast.
We are joined by WCHS Bible teachers, Mr. Amon and Mr. Marriott. They share their perspectives on our Bible curriculum, life calling, and helping our students prepare for the futures they are stepping into.
So I teach here at Whittier Christian in the Bible department, and I teach seniors in the worldview section. And I got here because I used to teach at Biola, and I was the coordinator for their Center for Christian Thought. And then when Biola went through a bit of a downsizing, they closed a few departments, and one of the departments that got closed was mine. And I thought, well, maybe I could be of some service to Whittier Christian, and I sent in an application, and that was over the summer. And then by the fall, it just worked out that I ended up being here. And so it's great. I love it. And it's just a wonderful environment, and love being with the kids in the class every day.
You want to talk about your teaching background just a little bit, and maybe you're from another country?
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up in Canada and spent most of my life there until I was about 20, moved down to the U.S., went to Bible college, and then from there to a couple different universities. And I teach at Biola still now in a part-time role. Yeah. I teach some apologetics classes, a class on kingdom culture and the gospel, a class for seminarians on ethical issues. Yeah. And my other area of interest, which we'll talk about at some point in the future, is why are people who once committed followers of Jesus no longer identify as that? Why do they walk away? What can be done about it? And what are some of the things that maybe we contribute to this process as parents and church leaders?
Those are big questions.
My name is Jeff Hammon, and I'm the Bible department chair here. I've been here 19 years this year, and I grew up in a small town called Lompoc, an hour north of Santa Barbara. I actually was going to do industrial technology, so I went to Fresno State to get that, but during that time got kind of shifted things. I went to Talbot, which I really appreciated, got my MDiv there a long time ago, and I became a youth pastor, and then through pretty amazing things came here again to Whittier Christian 19 years ago. I started teaching seniors, and then juniors in a missions class, and then Carl and Joel went to Indiana Wesleyan in Indiana and heard about life calling, and they said we need it here. So they kept texting me and telling me how great this was. And so I went the next year for the training and agreed. And so we've been teaching it 13 or 14 years with the life calling.
Okay.
And I love it mainly because my life calling, which I'll just kind of state, all the staff, the cool thing about this is all the staff has been through this training. We all on campus have written life calling statements, and we have them in our rooms. And mine kind of goes to why, you know, how my faith journey has led me here, and why I love it here and been here 19 years. So mine says, my life calling centers around equipping Christians with tools to grow closer to Christ through, and this is the key part, virtuous conversations about God and life's purpose. And really, it's about virtuous conversations that I love having with kids. Even my classroom has changed. I now have roundtables for discussions, and I just want students, and I think in our whole Bible department, we want to have good conversations and discussions with our students about God and life. And that's kind of what kind of drew me here. And I really, really love the life calling curriculum that we have.
And initially, when you guys were in that decision-making process with the three of you, how would you describe the hole you were trying to fill in the lives of the students, or maybe in the curriculum? Yeah. Like when you were saying, oh, this package, what hole were we trying to fill?
Yeah, so I think I'll kind of share what we do now, and I'll share what hole it filled. But we, I think our freshman and sophomore curriculum is through basically Genesis through Revelation, a brief overview. It's kind of what we call foundational with a lot of application. So hopefully it's continuing the foundation of the students that we get in freshman and sophomore year. And then junior, senior year is more application with the foundation, with the Bible as our truth, and we explore the Bible through it, but it's more of the application. So the driving force behind it is we want to help students understand how to love God and love others as they leave Whittier Christian, that they see this bigger mission in their life, that it's not just about an occupation or just specifically that what they can get in the world, houses and things like that. But how are they going to be a part of what God's doing in the world, and be a part of that? So Life Calling, it was really about, initially, getting students to understand that there is this bigger purpose in their life, that they can be a part of what God is doing here in the world. And we do have a really close knit relationship with our advisors. And so it is, does talk about careers and beyond high school and college. But really our focus in the class is to help them see how they can relate to the world in a bigger realm. And the cool thing is then we, in second semester, we start talking about leadership and how they can be a leader and good stewards in that. And then fourth quarter is actually about money and finances and stuff and how we can use that for God's kingdom, which then kind of leads to our senior year. And I'll let John kind of talk about what we do in senior year.
Yeah, how do you see it manifest after the training and preparation they've done? Do you see it manifest in your Bible class and how?
Yeah, because what we talk about in worldview is we want to give the students a sort of a broad perspective of the world that's out there and the different options that are available for them when it comes to belief systems. And we look at not just belief systems like the big ones, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, but we also look at things like consumerism that is sort of a hidden worldview, or sort of an expressive individualism that you need to, you be you, you do you kind of, kind of mentality. And what we try and do there is say, hey, you know, you're being told from every media resource that you encounter, whether it's movies or music, television or YouTube, any social media, that the highest thing and the most important thing you can do is be authentically who you are, regardless of the consequences to other people. Everyone has to live their truth. Everyone has to be authentic. And what we want to say is in the junior year, you found out a little bit more about who you really were. And that's very important. It's incredibly important because God has designed you. He's crafted you. And he has a place for you in his kingdom. And he has a plan for you. And yet at the same time, it's more than just about you. You're part of a broader community that there needs to be a balancing out of, that you're an individual with all these gifts and abilities and talents. And that you have responsibilities and obligations to something greater and bigger than you. And that's the worldview that you're a part of, and that's the Christian worldview that you're a part of. So we really try and bring what I think is a really healthy balance, so that when students leave here, they say, I know who I am, and my strengths and my weaknesses, maybe where God has me. They start off on a path that gives them a bit of a head start as to try to figure out where they fit in the world. And then they also have a balance of that that says, but it's not just all about me, that there's something bigger that I fit into. And it's about bringing the agenda of the kingdom to the forefront and using my abilities to advance that, as opposed to just living for my own, expressing my own individualism.
Yeah, my calling versus maybe just a pursuit of something.
Right.
Yeah.
That all of us as Christians need to love God and love others.
Yeah.
But how are you going to be a part of what God is doing in the world. And a quick story, when I was a youth pastor, we would always kind of think about the year ahead, and we'd plan all this, and we'd pray for a long time in the summer about what, you know, that God would bless it. And I had a friend who really kind of shifted, and I don't think I was wrong necessarily in that, but he shifted my thinking that he was always walking around going, what is God doing and how can I be a part of that? Yeah. And that's what we want to help the kids realize is, as you engage in the world, whether it be occupation or family or whatever you do in your life, to try to see what God is doing and be a part of that and see how God wants me to be a blessing to the world and to his kingdom. So we always say in Life Calling that this class is about you, but it's not about you. It's about how God has created you to be in the world and to advance his kingdom.
Okay, yeah, on that exact thing, I'm writing something here. So take me through when little Mikey sits there, you know, in that chair, what his thought process might be coming in, like his worldview, and then how does that shift throughout that year? Because I think you just hit on it in, mm-hmm. in one sense, but take us, like, spread that out a little bit and help me understand, okay, well, how does he see himself in the world differently in month 2 and 3 and 4? And how does he see, maybe how does that turn into a calling? Like, take me through that actual practical process.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of different kids that come into this.
Sure.
And so I think one of the big issues that we try to help students understand is that they have strengths and that we focus on strengths. Mm. If I would have taken this class when I was their age, I would have said, I don't have strength. So I think there's some kids that come in going, I don't have any strengths. I've been told all this negative stuff about me, whether it be my personality or maybe a disorder that supposedly I'm diagnosed with. And I feel really defeated, and I don't really have anything to offer. Mm. And then I think the other extreme is that we have kids coming in here that know their strengths, know specifically maybe what they want to do as an occupation, but they're really kind of in tune with themselves. So no matter which side they're on, I think this class tries to help them understand that all of us have strengths. It may not be what our culture says are strengths, because our culture kind of says sports and intellectual are kind of the only two strengths. Mm-hmm. We try to help students understand that it goes way beyond that.
Yeah.
And so if you come in, that they will, some kids will hopefully find strengths that they actually realize are strengths in their lives. But then I think other kids it might just be a reinforcement that what I thought I was strong in, I actually am in. And so in our Life Calling, we have basically three kind of circles that we go through. So we first off talk about foundational values. And so that, again, kind of goes from our freshman, sophomore year and then right into the first month of their junior year, that we really try to emphasize how you view God is going to shape who you become. So if you have a distorted and unbiblical view of God, then it's going to shape kind of how you are. So you might have a view that God is just there to get me, and every time I sin, he's just there ready to punish me. And that's not, yes, we need to follow his commands, but that's not the relationship that God, I think, especially we go through the prodigal son story, which we like calling the loving father story, parable, that how we relate to God is going to shape who we become. Mm. So it's going to shape our character. And then hopefully if we become more like Christ, we'll want to serve others. Then we get into the unique design, which is where the strengths come in. So we all have different strengths. And then we get into passions and experiences that God has given all of us. And then finally, we get into personal mission. How are we going to live out our life calling with mission, vision, and action? But I think as students come in, one of our advisors come in and does a exercise where write down as many strengths as you can think of on this one side of the 3x5 card in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then he says, stop, flip it over. Think of all the bad things that you do and all your weaknesses. And most of the kids have this long list of weaknesses and not too many strengths because it's hard for them to think about their strengths. And that's what we focus on. We can manage around weaknesses, but we really want them to really lean into how has God given you these strengths. And that's the big thing that I hope is that from month one to the end of the first semester, that they realize God has created them uniquely and given them strengths. And all throughout the whole year that we emphasize and think about their life calling and this bigger idea of how they fit into the God's kingdom.
What's that moment like when they flip that card over and they see what they're blessed with? And then you tell them, hey, we're going to focus on that. Like, tell me about that. Like, dig in.
So it's really amazing, again, and I would have been this student, that I would have thought I don't have any strengths because I'm an extreme introvert and I'm kind of not what our culture says is, you know, kind of the ideal person out there. And so we do a ton of assessments. We do a form of Strengths Finder. We do the Myers-Briggs. We do multiple intelligence. We do, you know, about 12 different assessments. And I think it's not just getting the results, it's actually getting what the results mean. And I have a student right now that I would say has come in and is like that, where he's like, I don't think I have any strengths because I can't focus on one thing. I'm not the typical teen. And just with the Strength Finder teen version, this light bulb went up on him, that he was just like, oh my gosh, I have a strength of wanting to discover things and not land on one thing and dive deep into it, but I want to discover this and discover this, and I'm a future thinker and I'm a discoverer. And it, for him, it's just been an eye-opening. We have these amazing discussions during class that he realizes what he thought was a weakness is actually a strength. And we've been talking about what the future could be for him, and that there is a need for his type of personality, which he thought, oh no, there's, you know, I'm just kind of this odd duck that, you know, isn't going to be able to contribute things. And I think he's starting to realize that he is, God has created him this way, and there's going to be amazing things coming out of it.
It's beautiful.
Develop a bold faith for a bright future at Biola University, one of the nation's premier Christian universities. Join a community where you belong. Be mentored by brilliant Christian scholars. Choose from leading academic programs in business, film, science, and more. Offered online and on campus in Southern California, one of the greatest destinations on earth. Biola University. Find your program today at biola.edu.
And from a parent's perspective.
From a more.
What a blessing. You know, my wife and I, when our son was here before I came as a teacher. We were happy to send him here. And when he started taking the world, the life calling class, we were really excited because we didn't know of any other school that was doing this kind of thing, that was saying, hey, here's your strengths. This is, you know, the area of your life that it seems like you have a future in. And for our son to be able to go through all of those tests that Jeff just mentioned, and then on the backside of that, to come home with an actual hard copy printout of all the tests, where he lands in all of the different sectors of all of the different assessments that they've done, and to find out, oh, his strength is here, his area of interest is this, he is somewhat of an introvert, and he needs to have, he needs advance notice of things. He does not like to be surprised.
That's okay.
Changes. Yeah. And we went, wow, we've lived with him for 16 years, and it feels like we're getting to know him for the first time, because so much of life at that age, you're not even in tune with yourself, so you can't express it. But the tests bring out what are actually in there. And it was really helpful for us, and we still have that document that Jeff sends home. It's an entire booklet with all of the information in. we go back to it sometimes. It helps us when we're in discussions. It helps us when we're trying to think of how do we approach him on a matter, when it comes to maybe trying to understand why he responds the way that he does. And it has been a true gift. And I don't know where else we would have ever gotten that from other than this class. And so I think that it has been an incredible value for parents, not just for the kids who say, hey, this is where my strengths are. Maybe I should get into engineering. Yeah. Or no, maybe I'm in public relations. Or hey, I could get into counseling. I'm empathetic. Or, you know, I'm a person who's a visionary or someone who likes to discover new things. It was great for us as parents to be able to say, oh, if you're thinking of going down this road, it might seem interesting to you right now, but probably in the long run, given what we know about you, you might want to rethink that, because it seems like it's exciting right now, but that might wear off given the fact that you're not an extrovert, that you're not really a humanities person, that you really are more of a number crunching guy kind of thing. So it has been, I think, singly the best thing that we've experienced here, as far as, for sure.
Absolutely.
And I think our Bible department here at Whittier Christian, we have this broader understanding that we are not it. We look at the Bible, and it is parents and church that are to raise your children. Obviously, we believe in Christian education, but we don't think we replace those two. So one of our emphases is to really focus on how can we support and help parents.
Oh, that's right.
And so the cool thing that we've done is this year, with the website that the kids fill out, is we're giving every single junior parent this printout of all the assessments their child has taken with all of the information on it, to help parents try to maybe understand their student better. We try to have parent seminars, which, you know, our Life Calling seminar. It's a 4-hour one where we take kind of the whole semester and boil it down for 4 hours. And then we have this new packet that really describes the whole 8 semesters here at Whittier Christian, with resources and questions. And our focus is, yes, we have your students here, but it is how can we drive them to go back to their parents. And even in the junior year, we have a thing called 360, where they have to go interview their parents about themselves, so their parents can speak into their lives. So we don't think that we're the end-all, one-stop shop. We really want to be there coming alongside parents. And again, that's why we have this Life Calling seminar, and then the 2 seminars that will be coming up early next year.
You guys want to talk about those 2 real quick? We can reorder this.
So the next one is going to be with John.
Yeah, the next one is on resilient faith, and it's going to be a look at why do so many young people leave the Christian faith, because the numbers of those are significant.
Tell me a little bit about those, the Barna research or what?
Yeah, so Barna, the General Social Survey, Lifeway research, all point to the fact that young people are leaving the Christian faith. So about 30% of young people by the time they're 30 years old will have left the faith. Pew Research just came out this year and said for every one person who converts to Christianity, 6 leave the faith. And the Pine Tops Foundation put out a report in 2018 that said by the time 2050 rolls around, there'll have been 30 million people who identified as Christians who no longer will in the United States. And so the numbers are pretty staggering. And we want to ask, okay, why is that happening? What are some of the cultural factors? What are some of the things that maybe we do as parents that set up kids for a crisis of faith?
Yeah.
And then how do we go about addressing that and responding to that and hoping to instill a faith that endures? And so that's what we'll do in the seminar that's coming up next semester.
In February. And the cool thing is that John and Sean McDowell wrote a book that we actually give all the parents, that if they want to dive even deeper, we give them. And all these seminars are free, which is, you know, just, and it doesn't even have to be Whittier Christian Parents. We just want this to be, you know, we're thinking God's kingdom, and we just want to help people. We just want to help parents. And if Whittier Christian can do that, we want to be a part of that. And then the third one that comes up in March is another one of our Bible teachers who is also a pastor. He's going to explore the idea of screenagers. So the being in front of iPads and phones and all of that. It'll be research, but then it'll also be some practical, like biblical application with how even spiritual warfare is a part of that, and really kind of exploring how to navigate well as parents the digital side of things of their students' lives.
Yeah. More of acute pain, but really serious. And I think everybody, it's a battle for everybody. It's a battle for the parents too.
Right.
Teenagers as well. Yeah. Is there a next step with this program that you see this thing could grow into X, or is there another layer you guys think about adding on that, because it's already incredible. So I don't have a sense of what it could be next. It's already incredible to me, but are there next steps you guys see as, hey, in 5 years, if we did this and this and this, it could be.
Yeah. So I think first off, just generally in our Bible department, we never want to settle with thinking that we've arrived as teachers. We think we have a really good skeleton. So I don't think we're going to be changing the classes, but the flesh that comes on it, we're always wanting to be relevant. And especially like in ethics and such, that if there's a new major ethical issue in our culture, then we discuss those ethical issues. So we're always wanting to be better teachers. And I always look over my curriculum every summer, read books that I can add things and make it better. I do believe that, like with the parent seminars, we just want to, we don't know where it's going, but we really want to be a resource where if we have, you know, people on campus that can bless our parents and parents outside of Whittier Christian, that they would be able to come and be able to get some really solid teaching. And so I just envision that maybe parent seminars, that we have more parent seminars, that it just kind of grows, because the cool thing that I'm committed to is that we do it in my classroom, and so we can fit 36 parents in here, and I kind of want to keep it that way, because when we've done the life calling, because we've done it for now 3 years in a row, that the discussions that come about because it's so small. And so if we need to expand it to two different times or, you know, whatever with that, I really am excited about the parent seminar side of things. But we do, with advisors, we have a lot of opportunities for our students to go to college fairs. And then we even did one, and we're doing another one this year, where it's more of a tech fair, where maybe it's more trade schools and maybe even just getting into HVAC and things like that. And really trying to help parents and students navigate kind of next steps after high school is something that I see as being really valuable with our parents. Sure. But for me, it's how can we better support parents in their roles of helping their students?
Absolutely.
And while their students are here, how can we help them kind of understand life calling and broadening that? Because like I said, every staff person on campus has gone through this, because it is a team effort. We don't think it's just a Bible department effort. It is a team effort with all of our teachers to help and explore with students how God has created them and the next steps that they're going to be after high school.
Yeah. It feels like this entire package takes a while to germinate for most kids. It might even be after they get out of school. Like it kind of is a, you know, you plant the seeds and then they all grow at different paces, and they kind of look back and go, hey, that, you know, this is that. And they put the pieces together over the, you know, subsequent.
Yeah, and we're hoping to give them tools.
Exactly. To
that if they want to come back and think about these things, that they could come back and really kind of think about these things. Yeah. I really think believe that unless there's some traumatic thing in somebody's lives, their personality doesn't change. So sure. If they're honest mm-hmm. on all these assessments, these aren't going to change. And for them to understand that and now realize and even go back to their life calling statement, I know I always say the life calling statement I've written, I would have never come up in college, but if I showed it to my college self, I would have said, yeah, that's me. And yeah. So I really do believe that maybe it's not exactly as they leave and they have their life calling, but I bet you if they're honest, it would be fairly close 10 years from now if they look back. And that's what we're trying to do, even in with worldviews and ethics, is we can't cover every worldview and we can't cover every ethical issue, but we're wanting to give them tools as they go out in the world to come back to be able to think about those things.
So what have been, okay, let's just say today, what have been the major issues you've had to prepare these kids to process over the last 10 years? Speaking of worldview, because this sets up worldview too. What's the last 10 years? What have been the major things? And then what do you guys look out at and see as the next 10 years going, hey, kids are going to have to learn how to navigate this now. And you're going to, you might like fumble through this a little bit and think your way through it, but just speak freely on that as, you know, as you've been, you guys are close to these kids, you're kind of reading on both sides of that.
I think of life calling real quick and then I'll pass it over to John.
But this is really for both of you. You guys are in that.
Yeah. So I think for me, I think there was a little 19 years ago, kids understood that maybe God's still at work in the universe and work in the United States and work in their lives. And I know we've all struggled with being, you know, self-centered. But I really feel like now with our culture saying, hey, you be you, and it's just whatever makes you feel good, that has really come to the forefront. And so one of the things that I'm trying to help the students understand is that, yes, God has uniquely made you, but it's not uniquely made you to do this sin because we are to avoid sin, but what are the strengths and how do you fit in the world? Understand who you are, not your sinful you. We try to avoid that, but how do you fit within God's kingdom? I think is a big shift of the idea. Now kids are just, well, I'm just gonna be me, which when John gets them, they're still thinking that way.
That's a pivotal shift. That's really good.
The things that we really need to focus on, and unfortunately, And I put myself as part of this world, like the evangelical world is a bit more reactionary than we are on the cutting edge of things. Okay. But we really need to be thinking of things like transhumanism. Mm. What does it mean to be a human now that Elon Musk is putting chips already in people's brains? That we're having people who have arms that are prosthetic arms, but that are linked up to their brain. And so now they're able to use it. So what does it actually mean to be a human? We have AI who now can who can sort of virtually resurrect relatives by cloning their voice, and you can have a conversation with a deceased. So we need to talk about what does it mean to be a human. Of course, there's always the sexual ethics piece that is going on and that we wrestle with in culture. We need to talk about not so much is God, does he exist, but is he good, and is Christianity good for the world? That's a huge challenge that young people have. We're moving into what I think sometimes people call a post-truth culture, where young people, and I think not just young people, rarely trust what they hear because there's so much spin and untruth and lies, deception that come right from the very top of our society and filter all the way down, and it becomes sort of the norm to where now I think we're at the place where we just say like, yeah, I don't believe anything that anyone says. And then when you add to that you can have AI recreate or create a reality that doesn't even exist, right? Like I have students showing me pictures that they've made of things that have gone on in my classroom that they just made from AI that you could not tell the difference between whether or not it actually happened or this was a Photoshop picture. You can't tell the difference. And now not only is it sort of spiritual messages or political messages or metaphysical messages that you can't determine whether they're true or not by using your eyes or testing in a scientific laboratory. We've always sort of wrestled with, well, how do we know which one of those is true?
Yeah.
But now our eyes can't even tell us what the truth is, because we're not sure whether what we're looking at here is just completely generated by AI or not. So we're moving into a post-truth society.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I think we also have to talk about, and we were talking about this the other day as a department, where when it was, socially it's left versus right, politically it's left versus right. But one of the Bible department teachers brought up, it's moving into Jesus versus Jesus now. Mm. Who is Jesus? Because you have the,
which Jesus, yeah.
Because we have like on the right, where most of our probably listeners and our families come from socially and and religiously, conservatively, there's a divide that's growing between, well, which part of the right best understands who Jesus is, and so I think we need to talk about that as well.
Yeah.
Feel free to edit that last bit out too if you really want.
No, and the problem is you elevate. One of the best thinkers just says, we're elevating the secular to the sacred, and now we're dividing up Jesus. Like, Jesus doesn't need that. Jesus, there's no place for left or right Jesus. Jesus said
that's
it himself.
Right.
So
that's right.
One other thing I think is, I have up on right by my door that I think speaks to this. It says, in essentials, we need to have unity. So as Christians, we need to have unity about the essentials. But the issue then becomes, in non-essentials, we need to give each other liberty, that we can disagree on the non-essentials. Yeah. I'll come back to that in a second. But then the final thing, but in all things, we need charity. We need to love each other. So we need to have the unity with the essentials. But the issue, I think, here with this, you know, Jesus versus Jesus, is many people are taking these non-essentials and making them essentials and saying that if you're not this, then you're not, you know, a Christian, or you're not, you know, doing what God wants you to do. And I think that's a hard thing to help students navigate, to try to help them realize that, you know, that just because somebody says you have to believe this may be a non-essential, and we can kind of wrestle with that. And that's why I really like John's parent seminar, is because he does kind of address what you know, kind of hill do you want to die on, and what,
and there are,
know,
as many
you,
as people
yeah,
think.
Right. Yeah, and, right. And how do you navigate these? And is it okay that your child has a different view on these non-essentials? So I think that's a big part of this as well.
Lay down your arms kind of a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, we are Christians, we're brothers first.
Right.
And we can disagree about some
right
number 18 issue, right?
Yeah.
In a rank, right? And not let that divide our church or our classroom or our school or our family for that matter, right? Yeah.
Right.
Huge. But that's Satan's work. Satan works in that way, right? By that legalism and that elevating stuff to the sacred that shouldn't be elevated.
Yeah.
You know, you see it all the time.
Yep.
I can tell you prepared, and you did a lot of segue work. Your segues are perfect. He's Mr. Segue.
I have a couple more if we want to.
Oh,
that
great.
You could probably put in.
I will, definitely,
okay.
Yeah. But I just I just want to tell you guys are doing great. And I'm almost through everything. I think I have everything. So if you want to add things right now, what do we have time? We have, like, spend 10 minutes just adding things or talking about. I would
I
love to hear
things.
Also, okay, do your two things, but then I want to save a minute for each of you to talk about your heart for the kids here. Like, why are you here? Like, why are you forsaking money at some big college? Why are you forsaking money teaching at El Dorado? You guys could both be there,
right.
And I'll cut this part up, but why are you here for these kids? Like, what brings you here? Because it's that might be the best thing, the most beautiful part of this. But go ahead, cover your issues, but then save a couple minutes, just talk about your hearts.
So one of the reasons we focus on strengths, again, we can manage around our weaknesses. And I know in my life, in my job here, I'm not really good at English. So all the stuff that gets produced, I think I have good graphic design and can get my ideas down. But then we need people, I just pass it off to the English department to help me edit things. So I manage around my weaknesses. So we really focus on strengths. And there's this Journal of Occupational Environmental Medicine who did this article that I got and I read. And they talked about people flourishing in their jobs or in their life. And they had a whole list of things Like, you know, they define flourishing as there was like these 10 categories and you hit about seven of them really well, like self-esteem and positive emotions and good relationships and stuff. But the surprising thing that they were studying was if you're aware of your strengths, you are nine times more flourishing than somebody that doesn't know their strengths. Mm. But then it goes on and says, if you're aware and you actually get to use your strengths, you're now 18 times more flourishing than somebody that doesn't know their strengths. And then if you get appreciated in your strengths, so if you're aware, you use and you get appreciated in your strengths, mm-hmm. you're 29 times more likely to be flourishing than if you don't know your strengths. And I know for me, being here at Whittier Christian, the reason I've been here this long is I believe Whittier Christian has allowed me to be aware of my strengths, to use my strengths, and I feel supported in my strengths. And I feel like I'm flourishing here because of that. Second thing.
That's really good. Sticking parent. Parents will, yeah. can get that. Like that.
Yeah.
That's real. Yeah. And I would love to hear at some point, maybe you can think about this later, we yeah. can add it in, but what those flourishing, how they're measuring that.
Yeah, so I can
life
tell
satisfaction.
You.
It's probably not just.
I can list it off.
Oh, you already
you
have it.
To.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
know if you had that.
Yeah, so you could edit this yeah. around. But the way they defined flourishing was, are you emotionally stable, vitality, optimism, resilience, self-esteem, encouragement, competence, meaning in your life, positive relationships, life satisfaction, and positive emotions. And so if you had a lot of those, I think it was like 7 out of 10 of those, then they considered you being a flourishing person.
That's really good. We'll connect those two train cars. That's really good.
And then one other thing about we've gotten a lot of feedback. We have a lot of statistics about how about 80-90% of our students find this class helpful in different areas of either finding an occupation, finding out about their strengths. But we've had alumni come back and say, hey, look, this class has really shaped and formed me. And one of the quotes that I got from a student, Clay Hammer, who is a 2019 alumni, he says this: the Bible department at Whittier Christian played a huge impact on my faith. It created a solid foundation, which allowed me to dive deeper and understand more in my college Bible classes. Life Calling specifically helped me understand the intricacies of myself and that I was completely unaware of. And he is now doing things that he found out that he was good at in high school. His job revolves around things that he found out here. And so we have a lot of testimonies of people saying that our Bible department from freshman to senior year has really helped them navigate college and beyond.
It's really good. I've heard a lot of anecdotes outside of this conversation that say the same thing,
yeah.
you know, or a piece of it starts to germinate when they're 20, that they, you know, just jumps up again, even in my own family. So yeah. it's really good.
Okay, so what did you minute to describe?
Well, okay, so there's a reason you're here. But there's a reason, like there's a reason this place means something to you, and it's usually the kids. And like, how do you see the kids? How do you, like, why are you here at Whittier Christian? How do you view the kids? How do you view their futures? And like, how and what part do you feel like you play in that kind of that pathway? And you've been doing a little bit of that now, but I'd love to get into.
So it's hard to articulate this without sort of sounding negative about teaching at a university.
Sure.
Because the differences are stark.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Right. When you teach at a university, you see, especially if you're teaching just gen ed subjects and you're not in a department and you're seeing the same kids for the same 4 years. But if you teach gen ed, like an intro to philosophy, like I used to teach, or intro to aesthetics or something along those lines, you would have students come in. You'd have them for twice a week for a couple hours. You would lecture at them, and then the semester would end and they would move on. And there's no relational aspect to it. You don't get to encounter them and engage with them outside of class. And I think that that is radically different when you teach at high school. I see the same students every day. I see them multiple times in the classroom a week. I see them on campus at lunch. Some of them eat in my room. I go to their sporting events, chaperone their dances. And I think real spiritual growth and development and impact comes far more from relationship than it does just transmitting knowledge.
Checking in, yeah.
And as far as like bang for your buck goes when it comes to making an impact for God's kingdom in the lives of people, I think that this is far greater for me personally, because of the relationships that I get to have with the students. I know more about their backstories and their lives after being here 1 year than in 10, 12 years teaching at Biola, than I ever got to know any of those students there. And I think that makes a really, really big difference. And the other thing that I think is really significant is that young people seem to be forming opinions and ideas and have an exposure to the world at a younger age than they would have been 20 years ago. The internet and social media brings all of this right to the doorstep, and they have questions and concerns about things that I never encountered until I took courses in seminary. Yeah. And now I have students saying to me who are freshmen, hey, what about the synoptic gospel problem? How do you fit the gospels together when they all don't say the exact same thing? Yeah. And so I think that being here allows me to connect with students who are having those questions at a younger age and have a maybe have an impact on them now in shaping them and raising to their awareness that there's a bunch of forces out there that they don't realize that are constantly forming and shaping and squeezing them into a particular mold that tells them this is where the good life is. And if they're at least aware of that now, they can hopefully ward some of it off and see it when it's explicitly placed in front of them. And but if you wait till the time they get to college to start talking about those things, it just may be too late.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, so that's one of those are the two big reasons why I think being here at Whittier Christian is really meaningful to me. And I wouldn't change it if I had the opportunity.
It's great.
And I would piggyback off of that the thing that I really enjoy is having those virtuous conversations with students. That we get into their lives and they're willing to share things when we connect with them. And the cool thing about Whittier Christian just generally is that most students connect with at least one teacher or coach that they can have these deep conversations. Mm-hmm. And so for me, being able to challenge students in their thinking, in their process and about God and life's purpose, and to be able to have those deep conversations with students, to be able to challenge them, to encourage them, to help them understand. I think all of our Bible teachers do a great job when students ask deep questions that might sound like they're gonna ditch their faith or they're questioning Christianity. We don't overreact. We understand. We've had those questions, and we don't just go to those pat answers to just say, oh, trust God or whatever, but we actually engage with them in those questions. And on the other side of that discussion, we may not have the answer, but it is about those relationships that we're building that we feel are most important. With him.
Yeah, and sometimes we even will raise the questions that they don't have, but we know that will come their way.
Oh, yes.
And we want them to hear those questions and responses from us before they get them from somewhere else. So, for example, right now, today, we're talking about what are the five most significant arguments against the existence of God. And when I ask the students to give me the strongest argument they can come up with for the non-existence of God, they can come up with one. Mm-hmm. And it usually has something to do with why do bad things happen to nice people, which is a good argument.
Sure.
But I know that if they have any intellectual curiosity, or they stumble across the wrong internet website, or they take a philosophy class at university, they're going to get at least five or six more good ones.
Sure.
So they need to hear those from us, even if they can't re-articulate answers by the time they do hear them elsewhere. They can at least look back and say, oh, I heard this before. And I know that there are good answers out there, even though I can't remember exactly what that answer is. And so I think we also try and inoculate in some ways, right? We expose gently, carefully, safely, what we know is coming for them down the road, so that when it does hit them, they're not caught off guard and it doesn't become a faith crisis.
Yeah, and that ability to take an idea and play with it and examine it gracefully and not be threatened by it, but be, you know, look at it as a project to be able to, any idea, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's pro-existence of God or anti-existence of God, to be able to just play with it gracefully and not have it attack your heart and soul, and, you know, be able to look at it. That's a skill. So mm-hmm. that carries on forever.
Yeah.
It never ends.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to do that you might put at the beginning. So it was interesting a couple of years ago, unbeknownst to me, administrators, some teachers, some parents and students got together to think of our mission statement as Whittier Christian. Mm-hmm. And when I first saw it, I was like really kind of shocked because it has the class name in it. And so I'll read it to you. So our mission statement here is, Whittier Christian High School is a Christ-centered community that equips and guides students to explore, discover, and pursue their life calling. Mm-hmm. And I think as a whole school, that is what our mission statement is. So we're all in this together, trying to help students understand what their life calling is. And the reason we do the parent seminar is there's a lot of terminology out there of people saying, oh, find your life purpose and your life calling and this and that. But what they mean is radically different than what we mean. Typically, when somebody says find your life purpose, it equates to a job. Yeah. And a lot, I've heard of a lot of schools that it's, you know, we'll help you find your job.
Yeah.
And but yet that's not what we mean by it. What we mean by it is this broader, bigger umbrella. Yes, we talk about occupation, but that is just a piece to this bigger whole of how can we be a part of what God's doing in the world and what strengths do I have and what talents do I have to offer God's kingdom. And whether it is through my job or it could be I have a different job where I'm doing something to earn money, but really my life calling is this other thing that I'm doing, that we mean something kind of radically different than what most people think of when we think of life purpose or life calling. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Whittier Christian Herald's podcast.
Every powerful change begins with a spark. At Azusa Pacific University, we'll help nurture your passions into becoming a bright, enduring flame. We offer a transformative educational experience that gives you the confidence to not only dream bigger, but also reach the highest heights. Explore over 100 programs where you can discover your calling and let your light shine.